10th paragraph Suvis Mishneh Hey. Misha Yonasi Alba Noshim Ameis. Now this person married four wives and he died. This is the concept we learned in the beginning of the parak. The first wife has an early ksuva, she comes before the second one, and shniyah l'shlishis, the second comes before the third, and shlishis l'revias, third before the fourth. That's a rule we know. Now, yishoyin nishbaz l'shniyah, the first one who collects first, she has to swear to the shniyah shlishis, to the shniyah. She has to, there's a rule that she has to swear before she collects the ksuva, and therefore, since she's causing the second one to lose out, she has to swear to her. And then the shniyah, when she comes to collect, has to swear l'shlisha to the third one, but l'shlisha to the revias, and the third one has to swear to the fourth one, because each one by collecting is causing the other one possibly to lose out. Revias nifrash lo b'shvuah. The last one, collect without a shvuah, because there's nobody else contending against it. Yeah. Just because she's the last one, she should gain. And there's a chash also, that maybe she was paid in advance. He says she also has to swear. So Benanis is saying that the last one should also make a shvuah. The question is, what exactly is the machlokes between the Nanas and the Tanakhama? So the Gemara says it's talking about a slightly complicated case. It's talking about a case where first three collected their fields, and now it's found that one of the first three collected a field that was really stolen. She's going to lose what she collected. So now she's saying that I don't want your fourth one to collect without a shvua, because maybe you were paid back, and I'm going to lose out because the field I have now, I'm going to lose out, and I have earlier rights to the remaining property before you. So I want rights to that property. So if that's the case, so what's the machlokes? She should. So the Gemara says the machlokes is in a concept like this. The rule we said before is that if money is owed to multiple people, the one who has the earliest shtar collects first, and the one who is later collects later. What happens if the one who is collect later collected first? Do we say, okay, lachatchila, he should let the other one get it, but now that he collected, it remains by him or not? That is the point of contention over here between the Tanakhama and Nanas. That Tanakhama holds that even if the later one collected, but the first one is entitled to take it out from the later one. If that's the case, so there's no reason to make the last one be nishpa, because anyway, even if she collects it, the first one will, if the first one loses the field that they were collected from because it was stolen, she'll collect it from the fourth one. But if you hold that if the fourth one went ahead and did collect it, she gets rights, she gets to keep it, so now the third one has something to lose out, because her stud will be taken away, and if the fourth one gets it, she third one will lose out. So therefore, she is mashbiyah. How you yotzis kum biyoy mecher? Of all the shtar ksuvas were written on the same day. Kol kedem zechaver tafil shu'achas zochsa. Even if one was written an hour before the other one, she has the first rights at the property. Kachir koysim biyushalayim shoyz. But that's only Yerushalayim, which they wrote the hour of the day on the shtar. But a place where an hour is not written in the shtar, it's just written by the day, even though one happened before the other one, they all have equal rights. Kum yotzim b'shu'achas ein sham elamon chalkas b'shavim. If they all were written in the same hour, even though one was a half hour before the other one, still they had equal rights. Because once again, the rights are based on what's written in the shtar. If a shtar is written by the hour, so that hour is considered one unit of time. Because a day, that day is one unit of time, and anything that happened within that day has equal rights.